You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That's right. It's another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Don't forget to give the show a follow as well on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. We make the names pretty easy for you here. Pelicans starting off 0-7, falling to the Golden State Warriors on the road in Oracle. A little bit more difficult. That's a pretty tough place to win. Falling 116-106. We're going to definitely talk about that game. What went wrong? What went right? Talk a little bit about the Pelicans' future. Where do they go from here? 0-7 is a rough start for a team, especially in the NBA, one that, you know, kind of had high hopes going into the year that this defense would be fixed. They wanted to maybe be in potential for the playoffs. That's definitely gone right now. 0-4, maybe they could come back from. 0-7, not so much. We're definitely going to touch on that. The Pelicans also play tonight the second game of a back-to-back on the road as well in Sacramento. Not going to be an easy matchup against a rested Sacramento team. They're not the dysfunctional Kings that we're, you know, we all know and love. They have some NBA talent on there. They don't necessarily have the greatest fit with certain players, but that's not going to be a cakewalk for the Pelicans. Playing on the road for them, especially after a tough loss like tonight, which we'll get into in a second, is going to be pretty hard for them as well. So that's really what we're going to talk about. I'm not going to give you guys too much of a preview for that Sacramento game. I think we'll recap it more tomorrow, talk about what went right, what went wrong. I'm going to have a bit of a different show for you guys tomorrow as well. We'll talk about the offense. What is going on here? Is there anything the Pelicans can do? Or is there really kind of simple explanations for it? But it's late. I'm tired. I wanted to get this podcast out to you guys in the morning. So recording it, you know, close to 1 a.m. and I want to get to sleep. So we'll dive right into everything. Before we talk about anything related to the Pelicans in this game, the 116-106 loss to the Warriors on the road, I always mention that because winning there is going to be incredibly hard. Warriors have a tremendous home record. But the story of the night is definitely Steph Curry. He hit 13 threes tonight. That's a new NBA record. The previous was 12. He did this on only 17 tries, and I say only 17 tries as if taking 17 threes in a game isn't a lot. That is a tremendous amount of threes for one player to take, let alone one player on a team that also features Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant. So it's a pretty incredible thing. 13 of 17 from deep. That's absolutely insane. 17 is so many threes to take. He pretty much buried the Pelicans down the stretch. This game was closer than that final score indicates. And, you know, at one point the Pelicans were within striking distance. They were within 4 points around halfway through the fourth quarter. And then he ends up going 3 of 4 in the final period from deep to just bury the Pelicans. When they pulled it a little bit closer, you know, he would just come out, make a ridiculous shot. The Pelicans even defended him shockingly well tonight. They even did that in the first game they played against him in the Smoothie King Center about 2 weeks ago. But he was defended pretty well by Tim Frazier, by Etuan Moore. Those guys did a really good job. If you watch Curry, you want to say his shot selection is so bad because he takes these just very contested threes, these pull-up threes that you're absolutely wondering what he's doing. The problem is he's so damn good. He makes them, and you can't really say the shot selection's bad. But the Pelicans did a good job on defense on him tonight. Just what can you do against maybe the best shooter in NBA history? It's just tough. He can create his own shot out of nothing. His release is so quick, lightning fast, that he just needs a little bit of space to be able to get it off before you can get there and defend it. So he was really the story of the night. Not much you can do when you have that guy making 13 threes. Again, an NBA record. But the Pelicans tried. You know, they tried to fight off the inevitable, which was a loss tonight to send him 0-7. Anthony Davis played very well, 33 points, 13 rebounds. He had 17 rebounding chances and grabbed 13 of them. He was very active on the boards tonight. He definitely knew that the main way you can beat Golden State is by rebounding well against them, and the Pelicans went after it tonight. You had to like their kind of team rebounding, especially on the defensive glass. They had people all around there. Golden State doesn't, you know, really go for offensive rebounds, so that certainly helps it. But they were still active. They knew what they needed to do to try and win. And he obviously got some help, otherwise the Pelicans aren't scoring 106. Tim Frazier put up 13 points, 10 assists, his kind of standard game he's having. He's really the second biggest threat right now for the Pelicans, especially with Lance Stephenson out. He's the only guy that can kind of dribble and get to the rim and attack and do a lot of this. And unfortunately, you know, the Pelicans need some other guys like that, and they're just out injured right now. So he had 13 points, 10 assists. Pretty good game for him. Etuan Moore is always kind of reliable. He had 15 points. He's still not shooting the best from three like he did when he was in Chicago, but he's shown it over his career that he's pretty decent from there, so I expect that'll get better. But he piled in 15 points. The problem is that just it's the same old story for everyone else on this team. They're just not reliable. Solomon Hill, 2 points, 0-4 shooting, taking some pretty bad shots and just not getting them to fall. Dante Cunningham at 8 points in 25 minutes. He had the most made threes for the team with a whopping 2. Just not a reliable guy. I know a lot of people don't like him, and Alvin Gentry's playing him more minutes than personally I would even like, and I'm kind of a defender of his in a bit of a way. But 25 minutes, he wasn't as effective tonight. He's not effective overall. Yeah, he finished with minus 26. That's not indicative of how poorly he played. You know, I don't like individual plus minus. I think you need to look at lineups as opposed to that. So I'm not going to put this all on Cunningham. Again, he wasn't defending Curry. What can you do when Curry's hitting shots like that? He just happened to be on the court at the times those were occurring. That, you know, that kills your plus minus, even though it's not really any fault to your own. So he, you know, had the most threes with a whopping 2. Omer Asik had the biggest plus minus, but he only played 14 minutes. You know, he's very situational. He started tonight since the Warriors were starting Zaza Pachulia. That's a better matchup for him. When they go small, what are you? I know people want the Pelicans to dictate offense, but I don't really quite see what they're going to do here. So if you have him in there, you have him defending Draymond Green, let's say, and they're going to kill you on the pick and roll with Draymond Green, Steph Curry. Someone mentioned you should try and hide him on Andre Iguodala. I'm not going to go with hiding Omer Asik on Andre Iguodala. He's going to get burnt on drives to the rim. Even Iguodala looks a step slow this year, but that's not a matchup you want for the Pelicans. That's asking way too much out of Omer Asik. He's better at guarding and defending those big lumbering centers that are still around the league. He's useful situationally. Unfortunately, he's paid too much and he's paid like a starter. Terrence Jones got 14 minutes tonight. It's pretty clear the coaches don't trust him. That has something to do with how many minutes they're giving out to Dante Cunningham. Also, the fact is Solomon Hill is probably better off as a 4, I'd say. The Pelicans have to use him at 3 because there's just no one else there. So it's kind of a lineup issue, and that's one of the reasons Cunningham's getting so many minutes. Langston Galloway was 3-for-8. Still not consistent enough for the Pelicans. That's not what you want, you know, a guard shooting. Buddy Hield's been looking a little bit better, but he still misses wide open threes. He was 1-of-5 tonight. At least he hit one. But a lot of those were uncontested wide open threes, and he's missing badly. It's just going to take him some time. And, you know, when you look at this team, what's going to change on offense? Who's going to get better? You know, I can't really quite see where there's going to be a catalyst coming in from. Maybe it'll be Jrue Holiday. Maybe it'll be Tyreke Evans. But the Pelicans are really missing that big usage, reliable guy. They kind of had it in Lance Stephenson a little bit, but not too much there. Now he's out injured. It's not going to be Archie Goodwin. He's not going to be the answer, who I talked about yesterday on Locked On Pelicans. You know, it's just overall, where is this offense going to come from other than Anthony Davis? You'll have guys that will contribute, but overall, they're just role players. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's going to change this year. You know, 7 games in is kind of a lost season for the Pelicans. And they need to sign the right type of player this coming off season. Dell Demps is going to have some work to do, even if he's still around. But they need a guy who can reliably score. They went for defense this past off season and role players. They got those guys in. Those aren't always easy to get. Now they got to really make a big move going forward. Another area other than the inconsistent scoring, which really hurt the Pelicans tonight, were turnovers. They had 10 in the first half. That led to over 15 points. I forget the exact number. I don't have it in front of me. But led to over 15 points for Golden State Warriors. Empty trips on offense for the Pelicans, which leads to defensive struggles for them and easy offense for the Warriors. When you're a team that struggles to score, obviously you can't really be turning the ball over like that and not scoring on offense and just making defense harder and easier scores for your opponent. Now, all of a sudden, your opponent scored more points, and you're trying to play catch-up, so now you're trying to force things a little bit more, and everything starts compounding on itself. On the night, the Pelicans finished with 20 team turnovers, 25 total points for Golden State off of those. It really hurt them more in the first half than anything else. They really need to cut down on that. The Pelicans have been pretty good holding on to the ball at times this year. The past couple games, they've been slipping as they played a little bit better. Defense is kind of all around in the NBA. If they can fix that, it's something that'll help them overall. It might make games winnable, especially in, you know, tightly contested games. But turnovers are a key. Anthony Davis is having a lot more himself this year than he has in years past. He had three tonight. That's unusual for him. He's averaging two this season. You'd like to see him get it under control, but he's also having such a high usage rate that he's going to turn the ball over more. So if you get him the ball less, which teams are doing a decent job denying him, you know, it can make it difficult. Speaking of Anthony Davis and turnovers and things of that nature, this just popped into my mind here about everything. You got to look at that guy's patience on the court. He gets the ball. They're running a lot of isolations with him, way more than they have in the past, and it's not necessarily something I'd like. They don't run the pick and roll nearly as much with him this season as they did last year or the year before under Monty, and so on. This is probably the least pick and roll he's run in his entire time in the league. And he's running all these isolations. Teams can easily double team him, and they do to start, and then he kind of dribbles and waits and gets his back to the basket and uses his long arm to keep the ball out of reach of the defender. And then teams realize there's an open three-point shooter, and they back off. And all of a sudden, Davis is one-on-one again, and that's when he attacks. His patience and court vision to see that and know that's going to happen has really been an asset to him. If you remember to start last season, he was getting double and triple teamed on almost every possession he touched the ball. The Pelicans weren't moving around him. He was stuck with it. He would often put up a really bad shot, and it led to some awful offense for him, especially at the start of the year last season. This year, this patience has been huge. That's what's allowing him to have a lot of these monster games, is he doesn't panic. He doesn't try and force up a bad shot. It's not like he doesn't trust his teammates. Just that extra patience gets him enough time to get some room and to score, and it's definitely been a wonderful thing to see out of him. But despite all of that, the Pelicans are still 0-7. Frustration has to be mounting with this team. And, you know, I don't expect Gentry to be fired. I've been asked that a lot recently. At least I don't expect him to be fired yet. One of the biggest things is, you know, he's tied to the hip with Dell Demps. If they fire one, they've got to fire both. Having to replace a head coach and then a new GM in the middle of the season, when they still will probably make a move or two, is a big undertaking. And I'm not sure that's the route they want to go. You kind of just factor in you're not going to make trades. You're not going to make moves in midseason. I don't think Danny Ferry would take the job. He'd be the most obvious replacement. I don't think anyone really wants Joe Dumars. Even if you don't like Dell Demps, that's not someone you necessarily want to step into the general manager role here in New Orleans. So I don't expect Gentry to be fired. Might change later on, but it doesn't seem like it for them, you know, to kind of panic and hit that button just yet. What I am a little bit worried about is there's always the fun game of which team's going to have the first players only meeting. I think it was Sacramento last year where they kind of had a players only meeting with the GM Vlade asking if the head coach should be fired, which I don't know if that counts since it's not players only meeting, and but there weren't coaches there, so maybe it does. We thought Denver might have won the pool this year, but it does turn out they had coaches in there, but it had a tone of a players-only meeting. The Pacers look like they might be the most likely after Paul George blasted everything on earth last night after they lost, but the Pels should definitely be up there. Anthony Davis's body language looks absolutely rough and atrocious. You know, they played hard tonight, but you have to worry about this team kind of failing to put it together a little bit and maybe failing to show up tomorrow night because they're tired and they just don't care and they want to get off the road and get back home, even though they've got another game on the road at Milwaukee with that. And you've got to wonder if Gentry's going to be able to keep these guys motivated. Davis just looks on the court like he wants out of here so badly. And unfortunately, he's, you know, for him, he signed the extension, I guess. Good for Pelicans fans, good for us. But he's got to be frustrated with this franchise, and you don't want anything tainting the way he sees this. You saw Kevin Durant walk away from a tremendous situation in Golden State. The clock is ticking on the Pelicans. Starting off 0-7 with guys and just not getting near enough help around Davis certainly isn't the way to go about this. And when you look at the upcoming schedule at Sacramento tonight, at Milwaukee on Thursday, What's the best chance this team has for a win? It might be the Lakers in New Orleans on Saturday, but even then, the Lakers are playing much better. That's not going to be the cakewalk that everyone thought it was going to be to start the year. So it's certainly not going to be an easy task to get that first W in the win column for New Orleans. And you got to wonder what it's going to do to this team's morale. Help is kind of coming in Jrue Holiday, Tyreke Evans. It sounds like one or two of those guys is going to be closer to returning than we might have thought due to not getting the hardship extension. But we don't know what's going to happen with that because they can't get it for a couple more days. So we're going to see where this is going to go. But right now, things aren't looking good for the Pelicans. They're wasting some tremendous Anthony Davis games. You'd at least like one win. Having a big zero there puts so much pressure on this team. You don't want talk about firing the coach. You don't want guys potentially tuning out Alvin Gentry or just getting down and not playing hard because they're not winning and they don't think there's, you know, it's worth fighting for. But the Pelicans don't have a choice but to keep fighting as they play in Sacramento tonight on the second night of a back-to-back against a well-rested Sacramento team. Pelicans are probably going to be a little bit tired from this, but we'll see how they play. I will be recapping that game for you guys tomorrow on Locked On Pelicans. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes. Give me 5 stars. I'm working hard for you guys. Subscribe on iTunes, Audio Boom, whatever podcast app you use, you can search and find it. Like I said, I always use Stitcher for mine personally. That's where I listen to everything. Don't forget to listen to Locked On Saints. The Saints are 500 record. This is exciting. They've kind of climbed back into it. They don't look like the other, you know, utter dumpster fire on defense that they have in the past. Though I didn't like how that defense looked against San Francisco on Sunday. But, you know, there's some good things going here. At least one team's doing okay in New Orleans. So definitely listen to Locked On Saints. They're coming to you 5 days a week as well, just like I am. No one brings you insight like this on a daily basis that you can listen to in the shower as you get ready, in your car, to work, to school, from work, from school. It's nice to, you know, get away from when you're picking your kids up to be able to listen to Pelicans talk and get your knowledge in. And don't forget to listen to Locked On NBA with David Locke. Just catch up nationally around the league. Know what's going on. It's definitely a nice thing. Be the smartest basketball fan in your friend group. I know you never want to be that kind of know-it-all guy, but I like those guys at times, especially when it comes to basketball. I enjoy talking hoops, especially, you know, smart hoops with people that I meet throughout my time here in New Orleans. So again, thank you guys for listening. I'll be recapping the game against Sacramento tomorrow for you. Also going to have some clips from Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue's Dunked On podcast talking about the Pelicans. They have some pretty good insight into the team and what's going on here and really just kind of what the problems are. And so I'm going to play those for you, talk about them, and it should be a real fun one tomorrow. So enjoy the rest of your guys' day. Hopefully the Pelicans can get their first win tonight and not start off 0-8, though I don't think it's going to be easy. And I'll be back with you all tomorrow. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Don't forget to give the site a follow, the podcast a follow. It's at Locked On Pels. And today on bourbonstreetshots.com, where I write, I've got an article about the good and bad of the Pelicans defense, breaking down some areas where they excel, breaking down some areas where they struggle, and one or two areas in between. So definitely give that a read as well. And I will be with you guys tomorrow.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.